So let's talk about the faith of the amount. Anybody ready for that? Thank you, Jesus. Mommy Caroline, you are welcome. You're connected from the star. Okay. I'm sure that's Canada. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the faith of the amount. The faith of the amount. Hallelujah. It is interesting to note. Let me just start by letting us know that this subject of the faith of the amount is quite a touching subject to me, because it kind of has an emotion to it. It kind of has an emotion to it. And I like it to follow carefully, attentively, because it will be a blessing to you to understand that there is a faith of the amount. There's a faith that is involved in your giving process. Thank you, Jesus. And what is the faith of the amount? It is interesting to note that when we give, there is an involvement of God in the process. There is an involvement of God in the giving process. Please write this down if you are connected to this teaching. God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. God. 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 God is always in the picture. God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. Wherever you are connected from, the MixLR platform, or you are connected on the WhatsApp group, ensure to put that down and put it in your notes. God is always involved. God is always involved. That is the faith of the amount, that God is involved. And I will tell you why we need to stress the involvement of God. Because we seem to forget. God is always involved. God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. God is always in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. You see, the reason we should be motivated to give excellently is that God is involved in every process of our giving. God is involved. You see, yes, you are free to give as you decide. You are free to give as you decide. But note, God is observing. Note that God is observing the decision. You are free to decide, but God is observing what you decided. God is involved. Anything that has to do with the gospel, God is involved. If you don't give, God is involved. God is seeing it. If you give, God is seeing it. Sparingly, God is seeing it. Bountifully, God is seeing it. You know why it looks like God is not involved? Because of the way God kind of hid himself in the subject, so that you won't have a misconception of his involvement. You won't think it is like the Old Testament involvement, in which you think, Olori Okosimbo. No. You will learn about God's involvement in a new way as it relates to the gospel of grace. And I pray that motivates you to indeed be an excellent grace giver. In the name of Jesus Christ. Like we established last week. That there are two main chapters in the New Testament where Paul took real time to talk in a stretch about excellent giving. Do you remember the chapters? Do we remember them? The two main chapters where Paul took time. Okay, those are actually the chapters we have been exploring so far in this study. So do you remember them? Thank you, Jesus. Do you remember them? All right, let me just remind us. That is 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Last week we even checked through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, how the word grace, how Paul was just decorating everywhere with the word grace, just to ensure that your giving is saturated with a mentality of grace. Now, 2 Corinthians 8 and 2 Corinthians 9, are the main passages. If you are looking for where giving was taught in the New Testament, your go-to verses are chapters are 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 2 Corinthians chapter 9. All right? The first verse will therefore be 2 Corinthians 8 verse 1, right? And the last verse will be the last verse of chapter 9. That's verse 15. Now take a look and notice something. The first verse of the text and the last verse of the text quietly exposes a reality of the involvement of God in the process of giving. Do you get what I'm trying to do here? The first verse of chapter 8 and the last verse of chapter 9, since it is 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 that Paul took a stretch in the teaching of the gospel. He started with the involvement of God, but in a very subtle way. He ended with the involvement of God, but also in a very subtle way. In fact, he used two P's to explain the involvement of God. First, we see the presence of God in the process of giving. The presence of God. Please follow carefully. You are going to be learning something important in today's session. The presence of God in the process of giving. So I'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. It started with God. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God. The grace of God. God is mentioned. Bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Wow. It started with God. It also ended with God. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 15, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So he started with God's involvement. He ended with God's involvement. There is a reason. There is a reason. And there is a way he chipped it in. So that we know that God is not here to make things worse. No, he's here to enjoy the process, but he is the starter, he is the ender. You can't outgive God. God is involved here in the subject of giving. God is involved here. Now, the first we saw was the presence of God, but look carefully, then you notice another P, the participation of God. God is not just present in this giving process, he is also participating. Look carefully again, verse 1, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. No one gave me this verse. What happened? 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 1. Thank you, Jesus. Look at the participation of God. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed. So you underline God, you underline bestowed. God was also given. The word bestowed means he lavished it. God was also lavishly given. But we are so quick to see, oh, bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. Oh, Macedonian churches, they are giving. But you didn't see that God was the first giver. The grace of God bestowed. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1. God was involved in the giving. Thanks for the NIV. Now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given. God was not just present. God was also participating. God loves to be in the process of giving. And this talks about the faith of the amount. The faith of the amount is that God is involved in the picture of every giving towards the gospel. This will change your orientation. When next you are deciding an amount, when next you are giving, God is involved. But he's hiding himself so that you know he gave you the freedom. But how good and sweet is it when you are sensitive to his involvement? Thank you, Jesus. He is participating in the process God bestowed. Then look at 2 Corinthians 9 verse 15, the final verse. How did he participate? The verse alone tells it all. Thanks be to God for his what? Indescribable gift. He started with God giving. He started with God give. It ended with God giving. God, in fact, the ending is even an indescribable giving. Hallelujah. An indescribable giving. But all through the process, oh, let him that give you. But you didn't see that God is the starter, is the ender. Even in all the middle process, God was showing up. He was showing up. I did a study And I was looking at, I just did Control F God on 2 Corinthians 8. And I was like, oh, Control F God on 2 Corinthians 9. Oh, see where God was just, you know, he's the sneaking Jesus. He's the sneaking, he likes to just hide himself. And all these places show places of power. Oh, God is involved. And I wrote in my note, I said, everyone should please write this down. The presence and participation of God in the giving process should motivate any believer to excel in the grace of giving. The presence and participation of God in the giving process. The presence and participation of God in the giving process should motivate any believer to excel in the grace of giving. If you are in this teaching, ensure to write that down. The presence and participation of God in the giving process should motivate any believer to excel in the grace of giving. I say it one more time. The presence and participation of God in the giving process should motivate any believer to excel in the grace of giving. Hallelujah. Should motivate any believer in the grace of giving. Thank you, Jesus. You see, the involvement of God in the giving of a believer is never to bring a fear of judgment. No, is never. As long as he's a believer, no, fear of judgment is not here, for you have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear of judgment is not here. You have received the Spirit of sonship, whereby you cry out, Abba Father. You know God is here and you are cool. Abba Father. Not the spirit of bondage again to be afraid that God is around. No, we are saved. We shall be saved from his wrath, being justified by his blood. Romans 5:9. So it is never to bring a fear of judgment. The involvement of God in the giving of a believer is never to bring a fear of judgment. What then is it to bring? Is to bring an acknowledgement of his ability to reward your loyalty. The involvement of God in the giving of a believer is never to bring a fear of judgment, but an acknowledgement of his ability to reward your loyalty. An acknowledgement of his ability to reward your loyalty. An acknowledgement of his ability to reward your loyalty. The involvement of God in the giving of a believer is never to bring a fear of judgment, but to bring an acknowledgement of his ability to reward your loyalty. All right? You see, in the context, thank you, Jesus. In the context of 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. The only time you find God doing something in response to our giving, like maybe, this person gave like this, then God showed up. You won't find him showing up in terms of judgment, no. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, which is our main text, the only time you find God doing something in response to our giving is either God is loving or God is blessing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 7 to 8. One of our main anchor texts in this session, self. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 to 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 7 to 8. It's quite a popular verse already to us. Thank you, Jesus. You see how it started. Every man. So it starts with you. As if God is not there. It takes a sensitivity to recognize that God is somewhere hanging around. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give. Not grudgingly. Of necessity. Suddenly we saw God in the picture. For God. Where did God? How did God enter this matter? Did I say 2 Corinthians 8? No, I said 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8. All right, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God has entered this matter. I thought we are just giving. God is there. Then the next thing you see is, and God is able. So God is able to give you more than you need. So the only time we see God doing something in reaction to the giving is either God is loving God is loving the cheerful giver, or God is blessing the cheerful giver. There is no God is judging. So the reason why there should be a faith of the amount, if truly you want to excel in the grace of giving, you need to acknowledge the ability of God to reward your loyalty. The ability of God to reward your loyalty. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for the Good News Version, Good News Translation. I believe you should each give then as you have decided, not with regret or out of a sense of duty, as if you are following a law or as if it is an obligation. Okay, for God loves the one who gives gladly. So the essence of cheerfulness is joy, is fun, is a rejoicing of the heart. God is able to give you more than you need, so that you will always have all you need for yourselves and more than enough for every good cause. The Passion Translation, let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. I love that. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. See, there is a fun to this giving. But God is kind of hiding. Only you suddenly saw him in the verse towards the end. And then he is either loving or he is blessing. He is not judging. Hence, the subject of the faith of the amount is a motivation to acknowledge the presence of a mighty God, even in our giving activities, in our activity of giving, to acknowledge. That is the subject of the faith of the amount, which we are treating today, is a motivation to acknowledge the presence of a mighty God, a rewarding God, even in our giving activities. Do you remember Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6? Hebrews 11 and verse 6, do you remember it? It's quite a popular verse. In the KJV, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. Then he explains what the faith means. You know, remember, today is the faith of the amount. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that he exists, must believe that he is. And then you must also believe that he rewards. You can't say you believe God and you don't acknowledge that he can reward you. Let the involvement of God motivate you to acknowledge his ability to reward you. Now remember, you are not the decider of the reward, but he will reward you. And when he rewards you, yourself, you go like him. Thank you, Jesus. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hallelujah. Without faith living within us, it will be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and that he rewards the faith of those who give all their passion and strength into seeking him. Hallelujah. That's God for us. Hallelujah. So the subject of the faith of the amount is a motivation to acknowledge the presence of a mighty God, even in our giving activities. Please note that it is interesting, it's quite interesting to note that we have the tendency to give shabbily towards the things of the gospel. We have that propensity to relegate giving till it is convenient with our flesh to do so. And this is because God really gave us the freedom to do so. You are so free, so you relegate the responsibility. Hence, in the grace text for giving, that's 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, which we just read. You are given the freedom. It starts with your freedom. But it takes only sensitive believers to note that God is right there in the picture of how you utilize the freedom. We just saw that. It started with, so let each one give as he purposeth in his heart. It starts with your freedom. It starts with your freedom, not grudgingly or of necessity. Your freedom and your fun. For God loves a cheerful giver. You see, the verse begins with your freedom but ends with God's fascination. God loves to give, and this makes him love those who give. You know, I said at one of our conferences, I said, but the Bible said God loves everybody. Now, God so loved the world. Hello? Yes, God loves everyone. But if I say, they say, everybody likes money. But I look at someone and I say, Dapo, you like money. That one means there is an intensity to it, Abby. There is like a magnifying glass is placed over the sun on the head of the person on the matter of the likeness the person has for money. That's what it means when the Bible says God loves me, God loves you, God loves us, we are accepted in the beloved. Yes, and when the Bible now says God loves a cheerful giver, the clear meaning is he rewards it. That is just he blesses it. He likes it because you are doing what he loves. He loves to give, and this makes him love those who give. Okay? In the context of the gospel, you see, he's right there watching with keen interest. There's no way I would teach you the Sermon on the Mount and not make you know God is involved. All right, you are free to make your decision, but it takes sensitive believers to note that God is involved, and they maximize it every day. Every day, every dime you give towards the gospel, the ministry, the minister, the ministered, God is involved. It looked like normal. Maybe it's just money. Maybe it's just, but God is involved. Everyone has he purposes in his heart for God. God has entered the matter. You see, I love verses that tells me God watches me. Have you noticed that God's eyes move? His eyes. Psalm 33 verse 18. If you are giving me verses, you'll give me Psalm 33 verse 18. You may want to give me 1 Peter 3 verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Psalm 33 and verse 18. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 33 verse 18 says something very interesting. It said, behold, the high of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. I love the NIV, but the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those who hope in his unfailing love. Hallelujah. God's eyes can be on you. And one thing we learn in the context of giving, cheerful giving, is that God's eyes is on it. Did you notice that in the temple, Jesus sat by the giving bowl, where he noticed a widow's mite? The Bible said he sat down by the treasury. God's eyes is on it. He loves cheerful givers. When you get it right, he loves it. It touches his heart. Because he himself loves to give. But the high of the Lord are on those who fear him. That's Psalm 3 verse 18. Now I'm waiting for 1 Peter 3 verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love. God's eyes are on you. I pray for everyone connected to this teaching right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, the eyes of the Lord will continually be upon you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the eyes of the Lord will continually be upon you. Take a look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are inclined to their prayers. The eyes of the Lord will continually be upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thanks for the Passion Translation of Psalm 33:18. The eyes of the Lord are upon even the weakest worshippers who love him. Those who wait in hope and expectation for the strong, steady love of God. 1 Peter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord. I like the fact that God's eyes are on me. There is a verse that is quite popular in the Old Testament. What's that verse now? 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9. I just like the A part of it. It's a verse I've quite crammed for. I think I was still in secondary school. I just finished secondary school that I have memorized. I like the verse. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Hallelujah. Is this 2 Chronicles or 1 Chronicles? I must get it to 16 and verse 9. Is anybody fetching it for me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah to your holy name, Jesus. Yes, 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. The eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. KJV uses the word runs to and fro. I like that. The eyes of the Lord. The eyes of the Lord. God, when the Bible talks about the eyes of the Lord, as in, he's watching to reward. That's the meaning. He's watching to reward. He's watching to reward. The eyes of the Lord. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. NIV, the eyes of the Lord ranges throughout the earth to strengthen those whose heart are fully committed to Him. I love that verse a lot. The KJV says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. You know, when the devil was to talk, he said the devil was moving to and fro. God does not need to move to and fro, it's just His eyes only. Such majesty. Runs to and fro the whole head. Throughout the whole head, the eyes of the Lord. Search the whole heart in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. Enjoy the ministry of the eyes of the Lord. Enjoy in the name of Jesus. The ministry of the eyes of the Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now that we know that God's eyes moves in order to reward, how much more when you now learn that God's eyes is in movement to reward you? I told you it's not a judgment thing, it is to reward. God is involved. God is involved, but He is hiding Himself so that you don't start dealing on the basis of debts. But you should know as a sensitive believer that God is involved, His eyes. I mentioned Luke 12, 21, verse 1. Luke 21, verse 1 and 2. When I said that Jesus, that verse said, then Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and He saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. That means Jesus was sitting around it. The eyes of the Lord is upon your cheerful giving and is upon the cheerful givers. Hallelujah. You see, the presence and the participation of God should affect how we give and what we give. The presence and participation. Don't give shabbily as if. Don't give. They say we should give. I beg. Wait, calm down. We are talking about God is involved here. Don't be so insensitive and you did not know God was involved. Okay? You want to give a conference is coming up. All right. Just remember that God is involved. Not to judge, no. Not to condemn, no. Not to strike, no. But to reward. You are hoped for a reward because of your involvement in what God is involved in. Thank you, Jesus. If God is involved, then I should be more involved. If God is involved, then I should be more involved. Do you remember the text we broke down on the Philippian church when they gave once and again to the ministry of Paul? When they gave to Paul, do you remember that scripture we broke down where we got the ready, the rational, ready, received, all those hours, the seven hours that happened when they gave to the minister of the gospel? Philippians chapter 4, verses 15 to 19. Take note of how everything moved. And you won't even, in fact, I underlined in my notes how you will almost miss it that God is involved. You will think it's all about Paul. A corrupted mind will say this is gullibility. But the word gospel has already been mentioned in the context. It is no longer God, it is responsibility. God is involved. Philippians chapter 4, 15 to 19. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that is, Paul was into the ministration of the gospel. So at that point, he is certified as a minister of the gospel, worthy of an appreciation. Thank you, Jesus. That in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, I'm reading Philippians 4, 15 to 19. When I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me, not with God, with me. God is hiding. concerning giving and receiving, but you only, for even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again for my, not God's, my, it was Paul, my necessity. Not that I, not God, I seek the gift, but I, not God, I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full. Not God, it's him. Having received from Epaphroditus, who received him, the thing sent from you. Then the narrative started changing. A sweet smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well pleasing to God. Oh, like seriously? In verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need. It takes spiritual sensitivity to acknowledge the involvement of God in a giving process. That is the faith of the amount. It takes a level of sensitivity to note that God is always involved in your decision to be a cheerful giver. It takes a level of sensitivity to know that God is always involved in your decision to be a cheerful giver. All right? God is always involved in your decision to be a cheerful giver. Do you remember Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6? We read the book of Proverbs recently in the group. Thank you, Jesus. We read the first 7 chapters before we started the book of Luke, which we are currently reading in the Gospel of Grace Outreach. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 6. From verse 5, you hear of trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. When you acknowledge him, he will direct your path. Acknowledge him even in your giving. Don't give shabbily as if you are a sponsor. Yes, God likes it that yes, you are a sponsor. But please note that God is also involved. The owner of wealth is also involved. Okay? So consider it a privilege to be a sponsor. Consider it a privilege, for God is available and God is involved and his eyes is on the amount, okay? His eyes is on the allegiance, is on the eagerness, is on the easiness. His eyes is involved in all the process, for God loves a cheerful giver. In all your ways, acknowledge him. That's the way KJV puts it. And if it says submit to him, it will make your path straight. In KJV says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And I wrote in my note, I said, please write this down. Please write this down. Before you give. Because God is involved in the before, in the during, and in the after of giving, okay? Before you give, God considers you as a steward. And after you give, God considers you for a reward. Before you give, God considers you as a steward. And after you give, God considers you for a reward. Before you give, God considers you as a steward. And after you give, God considers you for a reward. Thank you, Jesus. Before and after, God considers you as a steward. And after, God considers you for a reward. Have you read what David said in 1 Chronicles 29 verse 14? 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14. Oh, such a statement by David. Quite touchy, quite sweet, quite elating, quite a blessing. David made a sweet statement. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 14. David said, but who am I? And who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this, as in such a privilege? Then he gave the reason why he's asking such a question. For everything comes from you. And from your own hand we have given to you. I love that. As in, when God, I told you God is the starter, is the ender. Your giving is in the middle. You are giving to a God who just gave you. Of your own hand,
we are giving back to you. Wow. God is involved. There's no way you will learn effectively about the Sermon on the Mount and not learn the involvement of God in the process. NIV, but who am I? And who are my people? That we should be able to give as generously as this. Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from you. That's the meaning. It came from your hand, and we are giving it to you. We have given you only what comes from your hand. Please let us be believers who are sensitive enough to know that when we give towards the things of the gospel, God particularly takes notes. Alright? I've told you, remove fear of judgment. We're not talking about fear of judgment here, but we're talking about you really acknowledge God. You are not a shabbily giver. You tend towards giving excellently, for you know God is involved. Alright? The reason why you won't forget to give is because you have acknowledged God. You know God is involved. You see, Paul, I want to stretch this topic a little. And I would like us to listen carefully, okay? Paul drove this home so much that he made it clear that God is not just involved in the collection of the gifts. In fact, he is involved in the administration of the gifts. And I want you to enjoy 2 Corinthians 8 a little more. Because you might have been reading it, but you didn't take note of some things. So follow carefully on what I'm about to say. I mentioned that there is the collection, there is the administration. Collection is the people giving. Administration is the people they gave it to. How they handled it. God is involved. Okay. He has sounded it clearly that God is all over the collection. You, the givers, you should know that you are not just giving to me. You are giving to God. You are giving because God is involved. Your cheerful giving is not without the observation of God. Your cheerful giving is not without the observation of God. And this should guide your decision. But much more, Paul was careful to elaborate the involvement of God in the administration also. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 21. I told you I wanted to enjoy 2 Corinthians chapter 8 very well. Then I told you 8 and 9 are the chapters for giving. The go-to chapters when you really want to learn giving. Chapter 8 and chapter 9. Alright. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 21 says something. I would like to see different versions. I quoted some in my notes actually. Hallelujah. Alright, so I said much more, Paul was careful to elaborate the involvement of God in the administration too. And I would like to dwell a little on the administration. A little on the administration. 2 Corinthians 8:21, the NIV, thanks so much, for we are taking pains to do what is right. That's now that you have given, we ourselves, we are taking pain to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord. So I noted that God is even still hiding here, but also in the eyes of the people. So there is the eyes of the Lord on this matter, both in the collection. Are you getting what I'm trying to bring out here? Both in the collection and in the administration, there is the eyes of God on the matter, but he is hiding. You guys just keep doing, but God is watching, and the watching of God is for rewards. You acknowledge that there is a mighty God here who can do all things, and in this I appreciate his awesomeness, and I'm responsible. I give as a privilege to be responsible for anything that talks about the gospel. Anything that talks about the gospel. Thank you, Jesus. NLT, we are careful to be honorable. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord. We are careful to be honorable before the Lord. Wow, that's sweet. NAS, before we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord. So the sight of the Lord is also there. Hallelujah. Providing for honest things. KJV. Providing honorable things. Providing for honest things, that's KJV. Providing honorable things, that's MKJV. Not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So what did you notice? God is watching even in the administration. So God is in everything that has to do with giving. God is there. It is his. He likes to give. So when you are giving as it relates to the gospel, don't lose the focus that God is watching. Don't get so high-minded you think it is about you. It's not about you. When you stop,
He's watching. When you continued, He's watching. God is involved. When you took it with a discipline, He's watching. When you chose the path of sparingly, He's watching. When you chose the path of bountifully, He's watching. God is involved. God is involved. Thank you, Jesus. Not to judge, not to strike, no, but to reward. Hallelujah. God is watching even in the administration. And I'd like you to just check this out, okay? God wants the people to give what they give as God's money. And God wants the receivers to handle what they receive as God's money. To the glory of God. Because we are talking now about the administration. And because it is the word of God. And because it is a sermon on the amounts. I feel a little, in quote, obligated to tell you a little about the administration in the Gospel of Grace Outreach. And to the glory of God, thank you, Jesus. We are being blessed in this outreach, okay? Yes, we trust Abba that very soon, by the grace of God, we will experience the overflow kind of blessing. You understand what we mean? We trust Abba for an overflow experience shortly, okay? But the truth is, hardly does a need show up concerning the Gospel of Grace Outreach. Hardly does a need show up and God doesn't come through graciously in meeting it, in which everything will be so clear that God handled this. Okay, GOG does not run a sole signatory account, and I alone cannot access the love gift sent by the God lovers in GOG. No. It might be interesting for you to know that we don't even have an online transfer option for the gifts that come into GOG. The financial secretary prefers to go to the bank physically to do any GOG related transaction, all for the sake of ensuring accountability and putting some difficulty to accessing the outreach fund. I must tell you, that is a sacrifice, because I know what it entails. I really know. Okay. Recently, we appointed our official board of trustees from among us, men and women who fear God and have a passion for the ministry, with a long record of at least 5 years of unwavering commitments, who will also ensure accountability and financial management. In fact, the plurality of signatories is also a topic for consideration shortly. And everybody's like, Pastor Dami, you've switched. Why am I saying all this? It's for you to know that you can be rest assured that you are not only giving as one who acknowledges God, but you are also giving to a ministry that acknowledges God. All right? You can give bountifully here, and by the grace of God, be rest assured you are giving as unto the Lord, who will reward your labor of love. Now, let me show you scripturally why I had to give you that quick feedback. Okay, watch Paul. Watch Paul in his careful administration of the gifts to the believers. If you are giving me a verse, you are giving me 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 16 to 24. And then you see what Paul did. All right. If you are giving me a verse, you are giving me 2 Corinthians chapter 8 from verse 16 to 24. All right. Now you'll be able to justify why I just gave you a little rundown of what I just read out for you, what I just said to us. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so now watch Paul in his careful administration. Watch him in his careful administration of the gifts of the believers. 2 Corinthians 8, 16 to 24. I wanted to break this down into alliterations and stuff like that, but I was like, okay, let me just take it the way it is. First, look at how he did it. He delegated Titus, who has a track record of zeal and appreciable integrity, to undo the process chiefly. Okay, next, he included an unnamed brother who is praised by the churches. In fact, let me read your version. Thanks so much for the NIV. Thanks be to God, who puts into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself
and to show our eagerness to help. Verse 20. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer these liberal gifts. So you see that the administration is also in the chapter. And if we are teaching the word of God, we need to come clear on this. So that's why you have to indulge, why I have to give you a report. Verse 20 again, we want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. Verse 21, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of man. In addition, we are sending with them our brother who has... You see how many sending, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more. So, because of his great confidence in you, verse 33, as for Titus, let me tell you very well, he is my partner. He won't defraud you guys. You guys should know you are in safe hands and co-worker. Okay, I put some emphasis, which I mind there, and co-worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love. In other words, be free to give. Give bountifully. Give. Don't worry. God is involved and all is in order. Show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. So firstly, delegated Titus, who has a track record of zeal and appreciable integrity to handle the process chiefly. Next, he included an unnamed brother. He used the word who is praised, verse 18, praised by the churches. And even appointed not by him, but the churches to observe. Look at it, he said to accompany us as we carry the offering. To observe and join in the financial administration process. And I wrote in my note, I said, he probably didn't give the name of this person so that the head will not overswell. He just said, this brother. And then he went ahead. He now added another brother. If you read it carefully, that's in verse 22. He said, in addition, he added another brother. He appointed, that is not the church elected now, who also has a track record of zeal and appreciable integrity to join in the observation and administration. Then he concludes that this should give the givers peace of mind, since we believe in the gospel of grace, to give bountifully. I wrote in my notes, in their tens, in their hundreds of thousands, or even in millions, and I wrote smiles in my notes. But I believe the gist we came through, right? The gist came through. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Say with me, I acknowledge God in my giving. Say it wherever you are. I acknowledge God in my giving. In fact, if you're in this teaching, do well to write it in the group. Do well to write it wherever you are. I acknowledge God in my giving. 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 If you're in this teaching, ensure to write that down. I acknowledge God in my giving. Do you? Do you acknowledge God in your giving? Say it convincingly. I acknowledge God in my giving. I acknowledge God in my giving. I acknowledge God in my giving. Thank you, Jesus. I acknowledge God in my giving. I acknowledge God in my giving. You see, Paul would only involve himself physically in the process if it is logical to do so. That's how funny Paul could be. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 3 to 4. He has tried as much as possible to make it a last option for him to have direct access to the gifts, to the love gifts. All to show his acknowledgement of God in the process. I acknowledge God in the giving. So if the receivers acknowledge God, the givers should be free to acknowledge God. And let there be bounty. Let there be bounty towards the work of the ministry. For God is involved. For God is involved. For God is involved. For God is involved. I acknowledge God in my giving. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I asked for 1 Corinthians, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 3 to 4. 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Cor 16, 3 to 4. Look at how Paul speaks. He was talking about giving here. Then he said, then on my arrival, I will send letters with those you recommend to carry your gift to Jerusalem. He is always sending. He is not, except the ones you give to him personally as a minister of the gospel. But anyone that is on the ministry or on the intervention for the, I will. Verse 4, and if it is advisable for me to go also, then I can travel. It has to be so logical. It has to be, okay, I need to be involved. I just thought I should show us that verse. It is in the Sermon of the Mount, and all this needs to be well stated. All this needs to be well stated. If truly we are teaching grace, then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve. You are the ones that approve, and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. Okay, if it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. All right, so that's NIV. Thanks so much for that. Okay, thank you, Jesus. We've done a mouthful already, right? And we are still on the faith for the amount. And you might be like, okay, Pastor Dami, how can I be sure I am acknowledging God in my giving? Since it seems God likes to do omorakpala. You know when we talked about omorakpala and obarakpala? When Jesus came to this world, he came as omorakpala at night in a manger through a woman. Crying, nobody will come and say, this is the savior of the world. Like, when he was going, he went like some orakpala. Who would believe that was God on a cross? And when he is coming back, he said he will come as a thief in the night. Otumarakpala wanon. He will still be the sneaking Jesus when he comes. Hallelujah. Since God is likes to hide himself, so that you can be yourself. God actually hides himself so that you can be yourself. Alright? How sweet it is when you are being yourself with a knowledge that God is involved in your life. The involvement is not a fear of judgment, but an appreciation that I have my rewards in God. I love the verse in the book of Psalm where David said, "You are my portion. You are my lot." What's that verse? It's not in my notes. It just came to my head. It's one of the songs I like singing by Ron Kennelly. You are my portion. You are my lot. I think it's Psalm 16. Maybe it's one of the earlier verses. My inheritance and my reward. You all I need. You are my everything, oh Lord. Verse 5. You're my everything, oh Lord. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The lines of my boundary are fallen in pleasant places. Surely my inheritance is delightful. You are my portion. You are my lot. God is my portion. God is my lot. Live your life with a mindset that God is involved. That's why I quoted that verse for us. All right, so I'm thinking of answering the question of, okay, Pastor Dami, how can I know as a giver? How can I know as a giver that I am acknowledging God? How can I know I am really acknowledging God? How can I know I am acknowledging God? Lord, you alone, you are my portion. You are my lot. Yes, you are my portion. It always blesses me. I like to just reminisce. It's even in my prayer self. I could wake up in the morning and say, oh, thank you, Jesus. My portion. My lot. My everything. You are my all in all. You must acknowledge. Don't live life as if God, because he is hiding you too, you need now notice. It is romantic now. That's what he's trying to do. So that you catch him. You know that kind of hide and seek. That is God for you. And it comes with a reward. Thank you, Jesus. You are my portion. You are my lot. Oh, that thing doesn't want to leave my mouth. Let's move ahead. How do I know? How do I know? How do I know? The Lord is my portion. And my lot. The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. I love it. I'm feeling anointed at the moment. Thank you, Jesus. So how do I acknowledge God in my giving? How do I know? I am acknowledging God in my giving. Let's talk about that and we close for today. And that simply means there is a part five. Because we've not talked about the fruit of the amount. So this is the sixth F. But would you say it has worth it for us to have gone all this length on the sermon of the amount? Have you learned something? Have you really experienced the freedom? Have you been transformed? Have you been blessed? Would you say it's worth it? The part one, the part two, the part three, and today the part four. To learn that God is your lot. God is your portion. He makes your lot secure. My inheritance and my reward. You are my everything, Jesus. You know, when God tells you it's your reward, oh man, this thing doesn't want to leave me. Genesis 15 verse 1. The Bible says God appeared to Abraham and said, Abraham, I am your exceeding great reward. As in, for all, you, whatever you are looking for, you leave that one. Take me. Me now I'm the reward. When God becomes your reward, that should be your mentality. Don't dictate reward for God. Just tell God, you are my reward. I'm doing all this because you are my reward. It's you I want. When I have you, for all, you have God. He is in your boat. He is in your car. He is in your house. He is in your office. You are my reward. You are what I want above money, above rubies, above anything. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. I hope I'm able to stretch this well for you to know God is involved in your life. And how much more would it be sweet when you are sensitive to it? Hallelujah. I just quoted Genesis 15 verse 1, right? Genesis 15 verse 1, the Lord is your reward. Your exceeding, you can't just say reward self because it has to, it's a mouthful. God is my exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. God is my exceeding great reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a verse in is it Isaiah 52 that says God is your reward. I like that. Reward. Hallelujah. Anybody ready to learn how to acknowledge God in your giving? How to acknowledge God in your giving? Hallelujah. How to acknowledge God in your giving? You are my portion, you are my lot, my inheritance, and my reward. Thanks for Genesis 15 verse 1. That's what I've been waiting for. Okay. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. Say to yourself, God, you are my reward. God, you are my reward. God, you are my reward. Let me tell you one of the things that happen when God is your reward. This thing doesn't want to leave me alone. When God is your reward. Let me tell you one of the things that happened. Psalms chapter 40. Chapter 41, actually. Psalms 41. Okay. Verses, let's say for example, verses 1 to verse 3. In the context of giving, you know, we talked about to the ministry, to the minister, and to the ministered. So look at one aspect. When you do, let's say for example, now to the ministered, I believe it works in every way. To the minister, to the ministry, it works in every way. Psalms chapter 41. I like how KJV puts verse 3. It's interesting. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in the time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. You know what it means for God to keep you alive? We've done this in our prayers before. One of our recent prayers, that your being alive is not just that, okay, you are eating good. And this one, when the Bible says God keeps you alive, as in, I will be in charge of your being alive. And it's so interesting because even when you fall sick, the Bible says something that is quite interesting. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou will not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. Thank you, Jesus. I pray to everyone listening to me right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, you will not be delivered to the will of your enemies. In the name of Jesus Christ. Verse 3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bend of languishing. thou will make all his bed in his sickness. In other words, when you are sick, it is God that will lay your bed. Oh yeah, come and lie down now. Let me see the sickness that will remain there. Hallelujah. Let me see the sickness that will remain there when God lays the bed for you in your sickness. The NIV says he restores them from their bed of illness. KJV said he is the one that will lay your bed for you. God is your reward. God is your reward. In the name of Jesus, I pray for everyone listening to me right now. Whatever form of sickness you might be fighting, in the name of Jesus, the Lord strengthen you upon the bed of languishing, and he makes all your bed in sickness. In the name of Jesus, he will turn. I love the Amplified. It will turn and change and transform in the illness. The Lord will restore them from their bed of illness. Receive the reality of this in the name of Jesus Christ. The Lord is your reward. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Say it again. The Lord is my reward. Matthew chapter 8 and verses 14. Matthew 8 verses 14 to 15. Let me show you an example of how God lays bed. When God lays your bed for you in sickness. Matthew chapter 8 verse 14 to 15. The Bible says, and when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid. She was laid on a bed, right? And sick of a fever. He touched her hand and the fever left her. And she arose and became the minister. I love it. Come and be lying down now. We are talking about God is the one that will lay your bed. In the name of Jesus, the Lord is your reward. The Lord is your reward. Going forward, you will enjoy the involvement of God in your life. Practically. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. He touched her hand and the fever left. As in, who is talking now? We are talking of Jesus here. He will lay his bed in illness. In the name of Jesus, enjoy the Lord as your reward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Wow, I just preached myself happy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Alright, let's move ahead. Say it to yourself one more time. In fact, lay your right hand on your head and say, the Lord is my exceeding great reward. The Lord is my exceeding great reward. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sicknesses have no place in me. The Lord keeps me alive. In the name of Jesus. Receive this reality now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, let's see the possibility of exploring attitudes that show you acknowledge God in your giving. That is, you have the right faith in releasing the amount per time. There are four main principles that helps us keep tab on the faith of the amount. It keeps tab on the faith of the amount. Hallelujah. There are four main principles that helps us keep tab on the faith of the amount. And 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2 will be assisting us. Will help us suck them out, the four principles. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Let's check it out. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord is my reward, is your exceeding great reward. Please note, never rob yourself of the faith of the amount. God is involved. God is involved. Don't be somebody that gives into things that God is not involved. Be into things God is involved. Be into things God is involved, for God's eyes is on it to reward. God's eyes is on it to reward. God's eyes is on it to reward. Cheerfully. Cheerfully. God's eyes is on it to reward. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2. On the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. as God has prospered him, KJV, that there be no gatherings when I come. As God has prospered him. Thank you, Jesus. So therefore, let's talk about four P's in rounding up. Four P's that make you know that you are acknowledging God, all right? Number one, you acknowledge God in your giving when your giving is planned. When it is planned, you planned it. You sat down and you say, okay, this is what I'll be giving every month. Okay, there is possibility of increasing it, but this is what I'll be giving. It's not something you did not plan. It's not something that you sat down with God and you have resolved it. So it is not something that is giving you issues in terms of emotion. Can I show you? You have chosen what works fine with you. You've even, by the grace of God, gone beyond your power in doing that out of the willingness and understanding of the gospel. And this is well settled. You are the one that decided it. You planned it. You planned it. Okay, this is what I will be giving. With this, I'm good. With this, I'm fine. You and Holy Spirit talk this out. Holy Spirit grants you the favor to go ahead and keep doing it. Okay, I'll be giving, let's say, 5% of my income. I'll be giving, percent. Whatever you decide. Whatever you said, decide. You plan it. You plan it. You acknowledge God in your giving when your giving is planned. Take a look at that verse again. On the first day of every week. It talks about it is a planned thing. It is reverent. It is regular. It is reverent. First day of every week. It is reverent. It is regular. Okay? Well, now it is still for you to decide, but ensure you planned it. Ensure you planned it. You are acknowledging God when you have planned it, okay? You have planned it. It is not a reminder thing for you. It is not a remainder thing for you. It is planned. It is planned. This is what you think you are good with by the grace of God. Keep up with it, okay? And trust God to improve on it, all right? Grow in grace. There is room to grow in grace. It'll start somewhere as it shows forth your love for God who is involved in you. Thank you, Jesus. On the first day of every week. Okay, God has given you the freedom to decide. Then decide. Some people, when they learned about their freedom, they stopped. That's the funny thing. Some people think they do. That's another funny thing. Be sure. Okay, for example, in the gospel of grace, at least, let it be known unto you, men and brethren, let it be known to yourself that there is no month that passed by that my alert did not sound in the outreach. That is planning. You planned it. There is no month that passed by that my alert did not sound in the outreach. Thank you, Jesus. That is planning, all right? Okay, you have been given the freedom to decide, then decide. Okay, the gospel presents an opportunity for responsibility. Key into it. All right, that it is voluntary. Please write this down. That it is voluntary does not make it casual. That it is voluntary does not make it casual. That it is voluntary does not make it casual. In fact, you can stretch it. That it is voluntary does not make it casual. Does not make it careless. Does not make it an afterthought. That it is voluntary does not make it casual, careless, or an afterthought. That it is voluntary does not make it casual, does not make it careless, and does not make it an afterthought. That it is voluntary. I need you to write that down. Does not make it casual. It is because it is voluntary that you should even be serious with it. That it is voluntary does not make it casual, does not make it careless, does not make it an afterthought. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Plan. God wants you motivated and not obligated, yet not reminded. Do you get that? He wants you motivated. He doesn't want you obligated. Okay. Yet he doesn't want you reminded. You should know. You should do. Okay. Especially for the very fact that he is blessing you. You should know. You should do. Okay. You are flowing it. The ministry, the minister, the ministered. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Make a decision on the percentage or specific amount you consider as excellent for the work of the ministry, as by your level at the moment. Appreciation of the ministers and the intervention for the ministered. Thank you, Jesus. God wants you motivated and not obligated, yet not reminded. Amen. That's number one, planned. You acknowledge God in your giving when your giving is planned. Number two, you acknowledge God in your giving when your giving is personal. It's personal. It's personal. It's personal. So number one, it is planned. Number two, it is personal. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2 again. On the first day of every week, let each one of you, I like that amplified, they put in brackets, personally. I like that. Let each one of you, personally. It is personal. You see, the beauty of the New Testament is how it makes it personal. There is a reason why we call our giving in GOG, PFD, personal financial devotion. It is you. It is for you to decide. It is you and God. It is you and God. Our own is to guide. But at the end of the day, it is still you and God. Yes, you should be open to gracious instructions in order to be rich in good works, but it is still personal. You are that cool with God. You are that cool with God. You are that cool with God. Each one of you. That personal aspect talks about freedom and fun. I like that version that said, that used the word gladly for cheerfully. I like that version that also, Passion Translation used the word hilarious giving for cheerfully. There is a fun to it. It is personal. It is planned. It is personal. It is you. Decide. Each one of you, on the first day of every week, each one of you, everybody should do his own. Okay? A couple that is, that both the husband and the wife are both, understanding the gospel of grace, and they are both earning different income, each one of them should decide. It is personal, but make sure you decide. Don't be somebody that needs to be reminded. If you are doing well in your financial, in your finances scripturally, then you are definitely most likely doing well in your spiritual life scripturally. Thank you, Jesus. You see, don't miss the fun of the personal decision. Don't miss the fun of it, okay? There is the freedom. There is the fun. And I wrote in my note that hope we know that the word cheerful carries a designation of fun in it. And we've explored that in some of the versions we serve. That means enjoy your giving. Enjoy the fact that you're giving. Don't be heavy about it. If you are heavy, stop. Wait. But not a final stop. You are stopping to deal with the heaviness. Then decide what won't make you heavy at the moment. Then start. Plan it and start. Don't stop like stop. Mm-mm. Check out what is fine with you. Maybe the cares of this world want to be dealt with. You tell Holy Spirit, okay, please, can you allow me just start here and help me here? It's a relationship, okay? It's a relationship. But don't give grudgingly. Don't allow the enemy tie you down. Start from anywhere that is fine with you. How be it? Excellently. All right? It is planned. It is personal. Thank you, Jesus. Be glad you are giving. Did you read that thing that David said? He said, who am I to give? Or I do now. Who am I to give? That is sweet. That is, who am I to give? As in, you are busting my brain that you chose me among those that will give. Hallelujah. You are not under a curse. Celebrate the reality in your giving. Thank you, Jesus. So personally determine what you want to do with your money while you are opened to receiving gracious instructions concerning good works. Okay, be opened to receiving gracious instructions concerning good works. It is personal. Be free. Enjoy every process about your giving. God wants you to enjoy it. He enjoyed the zone. He wants you to also enjoy it. Not grudgingly of necessity, for God loveth cheerful giver. Thank you, Jesus. Where it becomes an issue is that he gave you freedom to decide and you didn't decide. Kiwalode, what don't you? Thank you, Jesus. So the plan, it has to be planned. It has to be personal. We move ahead. You acknowledge God in your giving when your giving is proportionate. When your giving is proportionate. Take a look at that in the KJV. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered you. As God has prospered you. It reflects God's blessing on you. It reflects God's blessing on you. Just look at the amount and say, does this reflect God's blessing on me? It's not a question of guilt. It's a question of excellence, okay? If it is bringing guilt, stop. Stop. The cocoa of this giving is for it to be accepted. Okay. And God said he accepts it when there is a willing mind. So there's no point. Stop. But it is in your advantage that you don't give a final stop. You stop to treat that grudgingly and check it out. Okay, what makes you not, what makes you fine, all right? Check it out. Give according to proportion. Give. Be an excellent grace giver. As God has prospered you. As God has prospered you. Let me read other versions so that they brought it out. The Amplified said, put aside something and save it up as he has prospered in proportion to what he is giving. Okay. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. As God has prospered you, a portion of the money you have earned. Okay. Okay. Passion Translation, by taking a portion of whatever God has blessed you with and place it in safekeeping. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. As God has prospered you. As God has prospered you. Thank you, Jesus. Philip's translation, according to your financial abilities. Okay. So it's reflecting your ability. As God has prospered you. Allow the flow. Okay. Did you notice that when God wants to give you, he too is giving as he has prospered, in quotes. Give according to your riches to a God who loves to give to you according to his riches too. When he blessed you in salvation, in Ephesians 1 verse 7, Bible said, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. God gives according, he gave you forgiveness in redemption according to his wealth. That is why your redemption is secure, because all rich, the servants in the house have enough to eat and to spare. That's the prodigal son parable. They have servant to have enough to eat and to spare. How much more the sons? God is a rich God. He's a rich God according to his riches in glory. Did you take notes that when Paul said that my God will supply all your need, he said according to his riches. God himself is giving proportionately. Give proportionately, okay? Give according to your riches to a God who loves to give to you according to his riches. Did you get what I just did? It is okay to let your giving reflect your worth. Thank you, Jesus. All right? Albeit wise, albeit in spiritual sensitivity, but it is okay. You are acknowledging God when it is planned, when your giving is planned, when your giving is personal, when your giving is proportional. Personal means enjoy that personal aspect. I want to stress it well. You have the freedom and the fun of it, all right? Thank you, Jesus. The freedom to decide. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. And finally, you acknowledge God in your giving when your giving is purposeful. Your giving is purposeful. Check out 1 Corinthians 16 verse 2 again, so that there will be no collection when I come. So there is a purpose. There is a purpose. That is, don't make it difficult for the ministry and the minister, okay? Don't make it difficult for the ministry and the minister. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It shouldn't be when it is needed that you give. Okay? It shouldn't be when it is needed that you give. Be a giver. Don't make it difficult. Be among those that made it easy for the ministry. The ministry is in surplus. The minister is inconvenience because you are giving. The gospel is in the circle here. Be free to give. All right? Be free to give. Thank you, Jesus. Don't make it difficult for the ministry and the minister. It shouldn't be when it is needed that you give. Okay? Be regular in the one you have decided to be regular, and be spontaneous in the one you have decided to be spontaneous. In all, be a part of those who makes funds readily available part time. For the use of the ministry, in appreciation of the minister, and in intervention of the ministered. In Jesus' name, we have learned. Amen. Were you blessed today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Jesus.